This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Bread. Petra, drum roll, please. Hey, thank you. This is a very special postcard from Pop Brad. I'll tell you about it in a second. Don't forget, boys and girls, if you're new to the program, this is Postcard from Pop Brad because we're in the town of Pop Brad. And I've got to say hi to the guys in America at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, you lovely folks down under, and wherever else you happen to be listening. On the program today, we'll be talking to Myra Smallman from the Rapid 2D Games Engine, along with Rick Alexander, who we've spoken to a long, long time ago, from that lovely company called AppCrowd, who make those things that I'll tell you more about in a minute that I love on my Windows 8 tablet. We've also got the happy birthday to the mobile phone this week. A couple of other things come out. We're asking the question, should we be condoning Anonymous? That's the hacking group. And apparently they're having a good old spat with the North Korean government and bringing down all their social media things. Ho, ho. And also the 911 call in America that was something like, this snake's gone under my house on fire and my house is burning down. You can't make them up, really, can you? Let's say hi to Myra and Rick. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
We're all good here.
Are you? That's all right. I'll be nervous for three of us. This is an important thing. And we're about to change somebody's life here, that's for sure. Now, back in January, Rapid2D, which is where Myra's from, and that's a games engine. If you're not sure what that is, think of it a bit like Word. So when you have Word on your computer, you write letters on it. Well, games engines make games. It's the tool that makes it all work. And this one's specifically written for Windows 8. And they ran this competition starting in January, and within like minutes, there's hundreds of entries for this ruddy thing. God knows how you're working all this lot out. And the idea was to design a competition with the industry sponsor of this, Microsoft, to make an app for Windows 8. And seriously, boys and girls, the first prize is 10 grand. We're not messing about here. It's almost a deposit on a house, for goodness sake. And drawing out the winner in a couple of minutes' time, we're going to keep you waiting. If they can do it on, you know, Britain's Got Talent, we can wait. Make you wait a minute as well. Is Rick Alexander. Rick's the MD of AppCrowd. The reason why I love him so much is he's one of the guys that makes these wonderful racing games. Thank you. I love them. That goes on my nice Windows 8 tablet. So thanks, Rick. We love you to pieces. But first, Myra. Myra, tell me a little bit about Rapid2D and where this idea came from.
Well, we originally came up with the idea of Rapid2D following the Game Jam back in September.
Right.
We ran the world's largest Game Jam, and we are the official Guinness Book of World Records holders for the world's largest Game Jam in a single location.
Yeah, try putting that on your business card.
I know, but it's a good thing to have there, isn't it?
It's nice. Right.
So we ran this world record breaking game jam back in September, and we thought that we should give the students just a little bit of encouragement and help to make these games over a period of 48 hours, because obviously they needed to work very quickly.
And stay awake.
And stay awake, which is difficult for 48 hours non-stop.
Yeah, I know.
So we made the original version of Rapid2D, which was a very basic games engine. However, since then we have developed it enormously. So it's now a games engine which can be used by novices as well as advanced users. We're launching the pro version of Rapid2D as well as the studio version of Rapid2D on the 24th of April this year.
Right. So Myra, does that mean then that, you know, somebody who's just an avid gamer can use the Rapid2D engine in the same way as a professional group of people can do?
Yeah, what we've tried to do with Rapid2D is to make it available for everyone and anyone who wants to make games.
Right.
So we have a free version on the website, on the Rapid2D website, and that is a basic version of the engine, and very little coding knowledge is needed in order to be able to operate that. So the novice want to be game producer can produce a game from the free version.
Well, they can practice the craft before they get to the craft, can't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And they can also produce a game very quickly. I mean, using even the free version, mm-hmm. you can produce a game, and we've shown it over and over again, within a couple of days, which is capable of going up onto the Windows 8 store.
Hang on, don't I remember on Develop, on their website, that last year you actually made a game in under an hour or something?
We made a game in 35 minutes.
Blimey.
From start to finish. And we've done it live as well. Yeah. That was a punishing win.
Yeah, you are glutton for it.
But yeah, it shows what could be done.
Mm, exactly. And when you get to the pro version, which I guess is where this is all coming to, what's the difference there? Are there bits that you can't get as the free version, or what happens?
There's the pro version and the studio version, and there's a splash screen on the free version, which is not on the pro and the studio version.
But basically, you can do the same stuff.
You can do the same stuff. There's a few extras, and one of the main extras on the pro and the studio version is that you can not only publish to desktop and tablet, but you can also publish to phone.
Which is critically important in 2013.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. So we've got the competition coming up. Now, Rick's going to be drawing the winner out in a moment. Rick, I was joking before, and I am an absolute racing game nutcase, and I am a Windows 8-aholic as well. What is AppCrowd? What do you do?
So AppCrowd is just a small group of highly experienced ninja developers, and we focus on making racing games and other apps for smartphones and tablets.
Right.
And because we're just a small bunch of experienced guys, we can do stuff a lot faster than big teams. We come from a console background.
What sort of games have you made then, Rick, in the past?
I've made lots of games. Including racing games. I produced Rollercoaster Tycoon on the PC a while ago. Frogger and a whole bunch.
Oh, I'm dribbling already. and a quick question to you, because obviously you see the title of your company says to me that you see apps as the bigger growth in the future. Am I right in assuming that not only are you seeing that, we saw the Tiger announcement this week that said smartphones and tablets seem to be the way forward for newer studios. Is that why you're based the way you are?
Yeah, I mean, my previous company was a console and online gaming company, and unfortunately it failed because we couldn't transition into this new market of apps and mobile phones. So this company is all about this new market that arrived 5 years ago when Apple gave us the iPhone. Mm. And it's phenomenally enjoyable. You can turn around apps a lot faster than you can do any of the other games that we used to. And therefore, you don't need as many overheads, or you don't need as big a team. And therefore, you can just be much more nimble as a business as well.
And I guess if you're more nimble, you're effectively faster and working more accurately to the market, aren't you?
Exactly. A smaller team can communicate much better than a large team can. So that means you make less mistakes. You can turn around stuff faster than everything.
Yeah, there's a downside to that, though, Rick. If you make the mistake, it's on your head.
Everything's on my head. I run the company.
Right, going back to Myra. Myra, so Rapid2D, the entries have all closed for this. What happened after the people made their apps? What was the next phase of effectively being accepted into the competition?
So we had 147 teams that entered.
Blimey.
Yeah, an awful lot. The competition closed at midnight on the 2nd of April. Before the close of the competition, the teams, which a team could be either an individual or a team, so each team or individual needed to produce 5 apps in order to go into the draw, so 5 apps or more.
So you couldn't be a one-hit wonder, you had to do some real
you
work.
Couldn't. And obviously out of our 147 entries, there were a lot of one-hit wonders.
Right, okay.
But even those, I'm very proud of those, because they have gained an awful lot of experience from making one app, so that's great.
Sure, yeah.
But of our 147, only 19 made 5 or more. So there's only 19 teams that made it through to the draw.
So there's going to be some nerves rattling at the moment.
There it is, yeah.
Yeah, and so, okay, they made the games. then presumably they then have to go through the process of, you know, technical standards, content standards, everything else that Microsoft want for Windows 8.
Right, okay. Well, no, the five or more entries for each team to qualify for the draw meant that they not only had to make the app, they also had to publish it to the store.
Right. What I'm saying is, it means to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there's a minimum level standard that obviously Microsoft wants for Windows 8. So we're not talking about silly things that people can make where, like, the ball went across the screen in the 1970s. this is a lot of work, isn't it?
That's right. It needs to go through the Windows 8 publishing criteria, yes, which is checked externally by Microsoft. And the whole publishing stages take 3 to 5 days. So each one's looked at by Microsoft, and it either makes it to the store or doesn't.
Gosh. And
so they had to have five that made it to the store by the closing day.
Yes, that's a lot of work. So anyway, I think it's time to put people out of the misery. I'm going to get another drum roll from Petra, bless her. Come on, Petra, give me another drum roll. Now would be good. Hi, thank you. Rick, I think it's over to you because you're drawing the winner out, aren't you?
Okie doke, here goes. My hand is going in the box. It's coming out of the box.
It's coming out of the box. Right.
Okay, hold on, there's a scrunched up piece of paper. Here it comes.
He's doing a good job for radio.
Here we go, hold on. It's taking a long time. It's probably longer than...
It's been a long night.
Hang on, have you been practicing watching, you know, one of these competitions where they keep everybody hanging around?
I do a lot of practicing from the mirror at home. I want to be an X Factor judge.
Oh, right. Well, you have to be nasty then.
That's where I'm going.
X Factor judge.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm delighted to announce that the winner of the Rapid2D in partnership with Microsoft competition for £10,000.
Can you just say that figure again?
£10,000.
Thank you.
Is. Dramatic pause. Valka Entertainment.
Wow, well done, guys. Big round of applause for you lot. Woo! Well done indeed. Myra, what do they have to do with this money? Anything? That's enough. Whoa!
Wow.
What do they have to do with this money? Is there any criteria to it?
None at all. No. I mean, I hope that they'll go on to maybe set up a studio and produce games for the Windows 8 store, is what I hope, using Rapid2D, probably.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. Listen, guys, thank you so much for that. We wish... Just repeat the winning team for us, Rick.
The winning team is Valka Entertainment.
Congratulations to you guys. Look forward to seeing you. Don't forget, you can see all of these guys actually on the Windows 8 store. Go and support them. There's a lot of work being done here. And enjoy it on your Windows 8 tablet. Thanks for joining us, guys.
No worries. Thank you.
RTI.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad. Two drum rolls, my goodness. Listen, congratulations to Valka Entertainment. Absolutely well done. Hope you guys spend the money wisely. We will get... I'm going to email Myra, actually, or Rick in a moment, and see if we can get the winning... The name or the boss of the group, so we can maybe have a chat with them next week. But I'll just email through and see if I can get that for you. Nice one, wasn't it, Lee?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I just think things like this are really impressive and really actually do something good for young people who are trying to make the way in this difficult, difficult life that we're facing.
Well, it's a heck of a way to start a business, to be honest. Get a free 10 grand, well, not loan, but, you know, donation almost for your hard work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks ever so much to Myra and, of course, to Rick. And we look forward to having you both on the programme again very soon. I've got one apology to make now, boys and girls, in that our Rachel has had a flu jab.
Oh, no! Where did she have it?
In her body.
I meant in Australia, like in Brisbane, a Queensland, you.
Thank you. And good, you never believe it. She's had a flu jab to avoid getting bad flu, and she's going thinging, like. She's talking a bit like Miranda does on the TV when she goes, I don't want to talk about that, the name of men in it. And so we haven't got a Rach this week. So, Rach, get better soon, because there's a bit of a problem while you're not well, Rach. How the heck is Rob going to get a cup of tea?
Absolutely. Has he had all his cake yet?
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, if he has, if he's eating all of his cake as well.
And he's got no tea.
And he's got no tea, he's going to starve. Rachel, oh, get better quick. For goodness sake. Anyway, moving along after that wonderful announcement.
Can I just say one thing before we do about one of our other young ladies?
You can if you wish.
Wasn't our Petra good on the drums, eh? My little drummer girl. Woo.
Yeah, if you start singing My Little Drummer Boy, I'm going to worry about you. anyway, this week also, it's happy birthday to the wonderful mobile phone. And thank God for mobile phones because they got rid of pagers.
Well, do you want me to comment on this or what?
Well, I have to say, the one thing that drove me nuts, I remember doing some consultancy work for a company and they insisted I had a pager. And I could never see the point of pagers because it'd go off and it'd say, Eric, ring me.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how?
Well, you go to a phone box or you pick your phone up on the table next to you.
But
or
if you're
you
in
your
car
phone.
If you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no payphone, you hadn't got a car phone at that point. It was the most frustratingly annoying device ever.
No, it wasn't. Mobile phones were the most frustratingly annoying thing ever, and still are.
No.
Do you know what? I'm not going to be churlish, right? I'm not going to be churlish and say that mobile phones are rubbish, which they are, or that they should be taken to the Trades Restriction Council, every single one of them,
because
they don't work.
I know why you're upset. Why? You live in that black hole in England, don't you?
I live in the coldest place on earth.
For mobile phones, they don't work where you are, do they, very well?
Well, they don't work anywhere. Mobile phones don't work anywhere. I would suggest, and while we're talking about people who are innovative, like the kids who, or the people who invented this app that's just won them 10 grand, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't some entrepreneurial, intelligent, sensible person invent a phone that just makes phone calls?
Well, they have.
About 100 years ago, yeah, and then they introduced these stupid mobile things that won't do, will do anything. Do anything for you except let you talk
Lee,
to somebody.
Lee, can I stop you?
You can if you want.
Nokia, for one, have actually just announced, and they've now have out, what is called a basic mobile phone. That does phone calls and texting.
Brilliant. Now, all they've got to do after that is make it possible for people to hear what the other person at the other end of the phone is saying.
You're right. Well, anyway, I'm the other way around. I do love my my 1X phone, which enables me to play games on it when I'm bored waiting at the doctor's. It enables me to communicate. It enables me to work. Do you know what, boys and girls? The other week, we did have a problem with our stream. And Lee phoned me up and said, it not working. No, you text. No, actually, you didn't phone me. You sent me a text, didn't you?
That's right, because I couldn't make the phone.
Yeah. So, well, that's your fault. You live in England. So Lee sends me a text going, it's not working. Now, rather than get my computer out, I picked up my little phone, which I have here, and which is not much bigger than a packet of those things that you shouldn't smoke. And I looked on the screen and I went, oh, God, blimey, I can see what's happened. So I went, bing, bing, bing. And my phone was talking to my office, which reset the server, which made the radio work again. I didn't even get out of my armchair. I didn't put a computer on. My phone did it. And that's a lovely business tool.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you trust a man who's just announced on the air that he's coming from the other end? Right? So, and also, yes, that's fine. That's a beautiful thing that you could actually do that on your mobile.
Fix it, yeah.
But wouldn't it have been better if I could have just said, hold you up, 10 seconds, hello, old chap, it's me. Your stream's blocked.
Stopped.
Stopped.
Not blocked.
Well, no, I was trying to make an analogy between a beaver.
Yeah,
and
I know where you were going.
I'm making... You have no idea where I was going. The man who comes from the other side.
Yeah, right. But no, the point is that you SMS me, which was brilliant. It's faster than talking because you didn't have to. We always waffle on us two.
How can that be faster? How can typing be faster?
Because we always talk for about 5 minutes as well on the call.
That's because you won't shut up.
And you know, within seconds, My mobile phone had fixed the problem in a completely different part of the town, talking via the internet to the server room, and fixed the problem. Equally, if I'm in, I don't know, Washington, as long as I can get Wi-Fi connection on my phone, I can do work through the office. It's easy.
Well, I'm in Washington in a few weeks, so I will check it for you.
Well, you won't, because you couldn't even put a plug on.
Do you know what I can't do? This is the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll tell you what he can't do. Tune a pushbike, Bill.
That is not true, ladies and gentlemen. He's just trying to flam me, so I can't get this point across. This is the truth. Eric Wiltshire, This man who's talking to you now, not this man, this is me, the man who will be talking in a few seconds, right, is probably one of the world's greatest gurus of technology. He has been involved in technology before it even became technology. Right? And I as an ordinary little human being, right, cannot get music to go from my computer to my iThing.
Well, that's because you've got an iThing. I'll teach you how to do that another day. But you've got to admit, Lee, you've got to admit that 4 years ago,
and
your level of computer knowledge was such that if anything happened, like it went ping, you'd be on the phone to Eric. These days, you do most of it yourself.
Somebody else.
He even installs programs himself now.
I do, ladies and gentlemen, but I can't get me iPod thing to take music, which is the only reason for it to exist, to have music on. And he won't music on it.
Well,
and you know what else I can't do?
Well, actually, Lee, I've got a better solution.
What?
Get a smartphone, then you won't have to bother.
Well, I'm actually, because I've got a new microphone as well, a real top, fabulous microphone that'll do anything. It does anything at all. It's the best one in the world. And you know the one thing it won't do?
Translate Mancunian.
No, it will not. It will not do what? What do microphones do? When you're talking to a microphone, it's supposed to broadcast it somewhere else, isn't it?
What?
Hey?
I give up.
But it won't.
Anyway.
I'm getting an iPad next week.
Right.
So there's another thing that won't work.
I can vouch for that. It won't work. It won't work as good as my Windows 8 tablet.
this is a Google thingy, Nexus 7 or something.
Oh, well, the Google won't love you in a minute. But anyway, happy birthday to the mobile phone. Great invention. The fun thing was that when it first came out,
there is no fun about mobile phones, ladies.
It was a great thing for girls when it first came out, because you could only talk for 35 minutes, and the battery went flat, and it took 10 hours to recharge it.
And you used to have to carry the battery around in a big bag.
Man, do you realise what that could be, Lee?
What, a big bag?
No, if you could get your wife to talk for 35 minutes, and then take 10 hours before she could talk again, it'd be marvellous.
I've not been married to her for 20 years, and she's still not shut up.
Anyway, happy birthday to the mobile phone. Quickly, I'm stuck here. I do not know the answer, boys and girls. There's a group of people called Anonymous, and they are hackers, and they do some really bad things now and again. But recently, the Anonymous hack group have started to hack North Korean social network accounts. So all this malarkey about you can't get the internet in there and can't do that from some of these silly people. Anonymous have actually got in there and claims to have accessed 15,000 usernames and passwords from a university database. And they're collectively calling themselves the Operation Free Korea, to upset the North Korean government, pardon me. And I'm torn between the rock and the hard place here, Lee. Should we condone it?
Well, no, absolutely not. We shouldn't condone it in any way, shape or form. Basically, because they're anonymous. They aren't the SAS, they aren't the FBI, they aren't any kind of legal organisation. They are a bunch of interfering hackers. And the problem is, when a place like Korea, a secret country, a country that people don't really know much about at all, that's just got some young bloke in charge, some warlike young bloke in charge, who's got nuclear bombs potentially to play with and all sorts of things, and armies of millions.
Yeah.
What we really, really need to do is cut off any kind of covert connection with them. Yeah. You know, so we can't find anything out on that.
Wouldn't it be better, Lee? Wouldn't it be better if, because what they've done is they've almost become white hackers, because they're actually arguing against the government by hacking these accounts. And they've called themselves a collective of Operation Free Korea to share information with the Koreans in the north. So they're actually kind of white hackers now, almost.
They're not, though, are they? That's just an excuse.
The other thing is this. If they can hack into there, the chances are they can hack into all the guidance systems for all these missiles that North Korea claims to have.
Right. That's what you want, then, isn't it?
Yes.
Some anonymous group that wears a Bob Dylan mask to hide their own faces, then being in control of Korea's nuclear weapons, if they've got any. Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, it makes more sense than the nutter who's got them now.
Oh, he's lovely. He should be doing that song that that bloke does on telly. Where do you go? That Gangnam thing.
Really?
Yeah, he looks like him.
Oh, okay. Just at the end of part one, boys and girls, just to make Lee very happy with Google, more watchdogs are, six of the EU member states are complaining about Google re-privacy. Now, the watchdogs are in France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Spain, and the UK. And there's a big spat going on between the EU and Google at the moment anyway. And the claim made is that Google have been told to do something, and they haven't done it. Yeah. Now, funnily enough, the bloke who's in charge of privacy at Google has gone this week from the company.
Yeah?
Oh, whoops.
Why? What do you mean by that?
Has somebody just fallen on his sword to get...
No, Google's far too insensitive and out of touch with the world to actually go down a road like that.
Really?
Well, I think so. You see, Google, like we're just talking about these anonymous hackers who potentially could control the weapons of the world. Google is probably the most insidious thing in the world today. It's in all our homes. It knows all our proclivities. It lives by its own rules and it feeds us information which is wrong. It's rewriting the history books by accident. Mm. And all that the real world wants them to do...
Mm.
is come clean and play things by the rules.
Well, let me shock you then. And I've seen this. I've had a copy sent to me. Do you know, if you complain about something and say it's not legally correct, there's an email floating around from a Google executive which says, I'm out of the office right now. If it's legal / threat, apply to this website.
Right.
But just because somebody doesn't agree with what's on Google, it's not a threat, is it?
Of course it isn't.
No, stupid.
No, I thought you were going to expand on that point. Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's it. Yeah. Legal / threat.
Why does an organisation like this want to take photographs of our front garden?
I don't know, but that's the end of part one. Again, as we said before, congratulations to that winning team with the Rapid 2D competition with Microsoft. Well done on the 10 grand, and I'll see if I can get, I promise, the email's gone, I'll see if I can get you an answer to the bosses before the end of the programme. We'll be back just after this little break.
From the heart of Europe to the world... This is RTI.